Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily lives, in the politics of the world around us, and in the metaphysics of our existence. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you tonight from Ronan, Montana. And I am joined by Mark. You out there, Mark?
Hello, it's Mark Wolves, saying hello from upstate New York.
And you're in upstate? How lovely. Is the snow the snow beautiful there?
It is. It's about a half inch deep. And it's beautiful.
We've got a couple of inches out here.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How cold is it there?
It's pretty chilly.
Yeah, it's about 10 degrees here. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a little nippy. I'm sorry?
You have clouds? Do you have clouds?
Yes, we do. It's overcast, and it's you know, sprinkling every now and then, and it's snowy. And boy, has the energy been low for the last couple of days. I've just kind of snuggled down and took a deep breath and rested. How was your holiday?
Yeah.
Mark?
Pretty much quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems that everyone is, like the whole atmosphere is quiet. I noticed.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with our group response to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a wait and see still in the air.
Right. I think we tend to all do the, you know, go hibernate. It's a good thing to do when there's a pandemic out, is come, you know, go quiet and go within and handle things. And over the weekend, you know, we mentioned that these holidays wouldn't be like the ordinary holidays. We had to take a different view towards them because Saturn was squaring Uranus, changing plans even at the last minute, and Venus-Pluto conjunct. And that, so the Saturn-Uranus square, I knew, you know, we think of the 1,500 planes that didn't take off on Christmas Eve, and another 2,000 flights today that didn't make it. The people's plans got changed at the last minute. I know several churches who had their Christmas Eve service in their parking lot at the last minute. You know, the day before, they decide they're going to move it outside and go back to everything else distant from there. And the Venus-Pluto conjunction, we lost Joan Didion, we lost E.O. Wilson, and we lost Bishop Tutu. And, you know, I think Bishop Tutu was the one that really affected people in their heart. None of them were a disaster. They were all of age, but it was still moving for many people.
Yeah, and Venus is the heart. Venus is the heart.
Yeah. And Venus conjunct Pluto, often there is something that happens that allows us to mourn as a group, to feel sad, to miss somebody, or to be aware of the poignancy of life and death, and hopefully to learn to be grateful to be alive in the process. Towards the end of the week, Mercury conjuncts Pluto, and that will continue the process. I mean, this is only the second time Venus will conjunct Pluto one more time for this pass in early, because Venus is now retrograde, turns direct, goes back, and on March 3rd we'll finish that conjunction. But the Venus-Pluto conjunction is, you know, we're taking things seriously between now and New Year's, and really it's a tough year to review. It won't be until New Year's Day, and the day after New Year's Day, that we have a new moon in Capricorn. And that new moon in Capricorn will help us, you know, really kick into gear our plans for the fall, for the year ahead. I always think of that new moon in Capricorn, if there is one right after New Year's Day, as the time when we really need to make our resolutions for the year ahead. And I'll be past these Pluto conjunctions, which are more about what do we need to cut out and what do we need to release and who do we need to say goodbye to clear the ground for the new year.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
Working with the new moon is going to be very powerful. Mm-hmm. So put it on your calendar.
I agree that this new moon, this new moon is going
to
be a good one.
Lay out the year. Know that everything will change, but start with a plan. The best I can see 2022.
I know someone on the Facebook the other day was talking about a birthday coming up, that it's both Kyle Rittenhouse and Greta Thunberg's birthday coming up. They're born on the same day, same year. And that they thought, and we have an approximation for a Sagittarius rising for Kyle, and I don't know Greta's, with Pluto on the, that would put Pluto on the ascendant. And they said, see, how can astrology be true? Look at these two completely different people. But actually, astrologically, they're very similar in that determination and that kind of inward place and that competence to get what they want done. It's the choices, what do they want done? And that's a soul issue, not an astrological issue. And that's something I think it's so good. You know, we often say that you can't tell the difference between a surgeon and a murderer's chart. And this is January 3rd is when their birthday is. And that they were both a sun and moon in Capricorn, on the new moon in Capricorn, with Venus and Mars in Scorpio. And, you know, that you can take that pattern and use it with all the determination that Greta has done. And she uses her, you know, that she doesn't really care if she makes people happy. She just does, you know, she's focused and fixated on her issue and how much it means to her. And so is getting an amazing amount done for a girl her age with that Scorpio focus and that sun and moon and Capricorn determination. And you know, Kyle Rittenhouse shot people up with it. But it's, he used that determination to be, you know, without compassion, without a goal. We often see that with Capricorn, is that Capricorn needs to believe in their sense of honor. Right now, the sun's in Capricorn. There's a whole lineup of planets in Capricorn. And Capricorn, sun, Mercury, Venus, Pluto, and Capricorn needs to have a sense of honor. They need to believe in what they're doing and to believe, you know, to feel that they are in alignment with good when they do their work. They need a mountain to climb. You think of that. We always look at the mergoat that it is, that it's a sea creature that can dive down to the bottom of the ocean and then for a dream or a vision, and then the Capricorn walks it up to the top. And that without a dream or vision, a double Capricorn or a Capricorn lineup can often, you know, be like a mountain goat on flat terrain. It's unhappy, it's miserable, and it tries to make things happen but doesn't know what to make happen, so they just get manipulative. But if they've got a goal, they've got a mountain to climb, a place to go, they can be like Martin Luther King, you know, who had a dream and a vision and walked across the world to get there, or across the country. So it's an interesting example of how astrology works with free will and grace. Here are two very similar charts. I think of the woman who started the Light Institute, I can't remember her name, and Unabomber were born on the same day, same year, and they both were like a little not all you know, they did not connect with ordinary reality, but one did it by, you know, talking to spirit and educating people and making it safe for people to explore their psychic realm. And the other one did it, he went off the deep end and sent bombs to people. And that they both had a very similar way of seeing the world outside of the box, but with a different motivation and different grounding and different centering and different soul purpose. So astrology always gives you room to make the most of it. I think of Albert Schweitzer's chart, as I remember, was a very difficult chart, but he used his difficulties to his difficult personality to attack, you know, leprosy rather than people, and did wonderful things with it. So astrology always gives you choice. Can you think of any good examples of people who've taken a difficult chart and used it with grace, even in your clients?
Yeah, it often happens, and it really is about how we respond to challenges. And if we let the challenges get the best of us and we don't even try, then, you know, the chart fits that. But it doesn't have to. So you can look at a chart and see best case, worst case. And in any case, you can't judge it.
Right.
You know, only the person themselves can ultimately judge how they did with their chart. And that includes all of us. And we're playing to mixed reviews. Some people will agree.
How do you mean?
A whole lot with what we did. Well, you know, this guy, Kyle Rittenhouse, and Greta Thunberg, they both have their fans, and they both have their detractors.
Yeah. Right.
There are people who actually agree with what either one of them says or does.
Right.
And there are those who
that's
don't
so powerful.
Agree.
So what would you, because you're good with ingress charts, on this ingress chart of the new moon in Capricorn, what do you think people need to tie into or to focus upon to give them a chance to really step into the power of it?
You know, I actually, this new moon in Capricorn, I didn't get a chance to look at that chart yet. Can you mention anything that's in it?
It's
we have
the
Capricorn
right
lineup.
Now.
We have the Mercury, and we have Venus and Pluto all together in it, which we have just discussed. But the sun is doing some nice things during the week. Trining Uranus.
And it's on January 2nd around 11:39 a.m. And it is, you know, at 12 degrees of Capricorn, Venus at 22 Capricorn in a lovely sextile with the sun, with Neptune at 21 Pisces, Mars at 14 Sagittarius, which I think is a real help. Mars in Sagittarius, you know, I hold responsible for the sense of humor that I noticed around Christmas that I didn't think we were going to see there for a while with Mars in Scorpio, but the Mars in Sagittarius has been really helping. And Mars will be, it's right now, it's forming a sextile to Saturn, so by then, or it will be soon, it'll be still set within 2 degrees of sextile, that Saturn, and Mercury will be just in Aquarius. Now, where we are here in the West Neptune will just be rising, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out here in the West. We've been seeing a lot of water. They got 5 feet of snow in the Sierras yesterday, and that's really good news for the aquifer, though it may be some short-term flooding when that starts to melt. That's 5 feet of snow. That's amazing. So I think that
5 feet of snow that melts is a lot of water.
Yeah, it's a lot of water, and on ground that hasn't soaked up much for a long time, which worries me. And that Mars in Sagittarius sense of humor, you know, it has been difficult. One of the things that I spoke about in my last article was the old story of it could always be worse, because it felt like that this year, you know, and I figured with Pluto, Venus conjunct and then Pluto, Mercury conjunct, we all might be going through some version of it. And, you know, the story goes that where the couple comes to the rabbi, you know, a family, the rabbi, this, it's too noisy, there's no room, there's never enough food, everybody quarrels, and he says, do you have chickens? And he says, we have some animals, bring in the chickens. And he said, and they go, what? Bring in the chickens. As they bring in the chickens and then they play with it, they come back a week later saying, same problems, everything's awful, everybody's fighting, only now there's feathers in the soup. And he says, bring in the cow and, bring in the horse, bring in the goat. And, they keep getting madder and madder about the whole situation and how miserable it is, and they tell stories. And then he says, okay, send everybody, all the animals back out to the yard. And they go like, oh, Rabbi, it's wonderful. It's so peaceful. It's so quiet. It's so easy now with, no animals in the house. And they always feel much better. And their situation was just the same. And I told this story, and one family member said they went through that yesterday. There, as the temperature dropped in Seattle down to, 19 degrees, their furnace went out on a Sunday night after Christmas. There was nobody to fix theirs. And it was too much snow on the streets to drive, so they walked, half an hour to Home Depot, got a new thermostat, came back. That wasn't the problem. They tried different things. They had to put on a space heater on the pipes overnight, curl up, with hot water bottles and heating pads to try to make it through the night, and finally got, went through a few other things that could be wrong, and then found the fuse, fixed it, and there was a fuse in the furnace that had gone out. And then they could fix that, then they could fix the block. And suddenly they had been cranky and arguing a little bit ahead of time, but now, and then they kind of like bonded trying to make it through this cold night, and then today everything is wonderful. It's the same problems they had the day before, only now they're appreciating the fact that they have a hot house instead of, freezing cold and about to have frozen pipes. And it could always be worse. And then it got better, they felt better, and the family's getting along much better. And I thought that was a lovely version of what Mars in Sagittarius has, that trickster quality. And so if you catch yourself in one of those scenarios, notice that, sometimes it's hard to feel grateful for something, even in the worst case scenarios. But I remember when a friend of mine was dying. Can do that.
Sagittarius is always full of hope.
Yeah.
Sagittarius is always looking to the furthest goal.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, if you stick with Sagittarius, you'll get there. And Mars seems to know that. So Mars is quite happy in Sagittarius.
That's wonderful. So we've got time for just a few phone calls. And remember to press 1 if you want to raise your hand for the audience. I'm going to take this one. Hello, error code 267-673. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, Heather. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
My birthday is March 31st, 1990. Born at 6:30 p.m. in Birmingham, Alabama.
And what can we do for you today?
Hey, I'm just doing my little check-in here because the last time we spoke, we were talking about how this Pluto was affecting my Saturn, and now it's off. Mm-hmm.
And how does that feel?
It doesn't really feel like that much different, to be quite honest with you. I definitely felt mm-hmm. a little bit of relief, but, you know, it's still pretty close, mm-hmm. you know. So
it's still, you know,
I mean,
it's barely off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, barely off. But my question is, I'm trying to plan a trip up to Philly this week because
mm-hmm.
I'm checking out an apartment up there through a sublease. And I was just trying to see if that's something I can look forward to or not. Because, like, you know, like I've been talking to you guys before about I've just had nothing but bad luck with that Pluto.
Yeah, and your progressed moon is in Leo, 23 degrees, and it's going to be forming an in conjunct to that Pluto. So, you know, I don't think the issue of home is permanently settled, but you do have that moon in Leo coming to oppose your natal Venus, and that can wake your Venus up, and that, you know, you have Venus and Mars both in Aquarius, so you kind of, that's camaraderie that you're looking forward to. And that feels good. You know, the Saturn-Uranus square is finally giving people a break. That,
really?
You know, for everybody was having trouble making plans. And it it's squared again over this weekend. It's still within orb, but it's soon it's moving on. So, you know, the later you check that out, the better.
Okay.
I'd say if you can wait, you know, make a decision after Mercury finishes that conjunction to Pluto, and which I believe is Thursday or Friday, and then you find that over the weekend it might give you a little bit more room to take a deep breath and
okay.
some exciting new beginnings. You know, I really feel the difference that we're still finishing up 2021 through Tuesday. And then we really begin the new chapter on January 2nd and 3rd.
Okay, that sounds about right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So good luck on that.
Yeah, so you still
that's
have
great.
Some Pluto to deal with, but you're going to get beyond
great.
It.
Oh, boy. Oh, well. Not like
but it's progressions rather than to your natal chart. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, good. You take
All
care
right,
and good
guys.
Luck.
Well, thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. And air code 310-866. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Nice.
Good. When were you born?
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Okay, so 11/28/1970, 5:50 a.m., Los Angeles, California.
5:50 a.m. in Los Angeles. And what's your question?
Oh, my gosh, just, I don't know, looking ahead, just wondering, what?
Oh, the enthusiasm of a double Sagittarius. That's just lovely. You were born right before the new moon of Sagittarius, and we were just talking about that Sagittarius enthusiasm and sense of humor and mischief.
Oh,
that is
Scorpio
a part
rise.
Of that Sagittarian question. Yeah.
Does the Scorpio rising damper it? I don't know. Uh-huh.
Oh, it just means you got to go under the radar. Like, people think of you as more serious than you are, but you've still got Jupiter, the ruler of Sagittarius, on the ascendant. So you make a grand entrance, even if it's a little bit more subdued than people would expect from a double Sag, right? And you know, and you've got a busy first house with Jupiter in the first house. So you know, with you know, Jupiter on the 12th, but Neptune in the first, people will only see what they want to see in you or what you're projecting. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of really make it clear. So if you want to be seen you have to be, you know, you have to say, see me, here I am. If you want to, like, I'm just invisible, I'm sneaking around the edges, you can do that. You pick up accents when you talk to people. So it's, you know, people, you pace yourself with other people. You're coming out of some interesting Pluto transits. Your progress sun has just gotten off Pluto. Pluto has just finished your natal Mars, finished squaring it. So there's kind of some good news and enthusiasm for you. You've just made some major changes in your life over the last couple of months because your progressed moon went over Uranus. So I think it's going to be an interesting new year for you.
Okay.
Mark, what do you say for that? Progressed moon at 15 degrees.
You really want to use this time to make it more clear who you are and what your intentions are. You have a tendency not to do that, and then instead to sort of play all, you know, keep all the cards in your hand. And go ahead and put a couple of cards on the table, and that'll change your hand.
You're so adaptable that you can, you know, give you lemons, you'll make lemonade. But ask you what you want, and you may feel like, you know, you're good at solving problems and adapting. But you have that capacity to know what you want on the inside and just kind of find that to direct where you're going next.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mark and Heather. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
I'm so glad.
Hanging in
happy
there
to talk to you. And you have a and you have a wonderful new year ahead.
Oh,
okay.
Take care. Thank you so much. Bye bye.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Wonderful. Yeah, and yes, happy. Have a wonderful New Year. I noticed that
again,
on New Year's
it starts on
Eve.
The second. I was going to say, remember, it starts on the second this year.
Right, the whole New Year. And that the progressed. I mean, the moon will be in Sagittarius on New Year's Eve, which could lower our impulse control and could make for some great times, but it's going to be conjuncting Mars, and you know, it's going to be that Moon-Mars conjunction could make us a little bit more accident-prone. So we just ask you to be safely enthusiastic on New Year's Eve. This is Heather Rowan Robin saying goodbye from Montana. Any last comments, Mark, on the way out?
No, I think we're ready for the 2022.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Mark Waltz saying, talk to you next week.
You take care.
Okay. Bye now.
Wonderful. Bye.